Charting Toward Intimacy covers mature topics. Listener discretion is advised. Welcome to Charting Toward Intimacy,
where we're expanding the conversation around Catholic sexuality.
We're your hosts, Ellen and Kathleen. Hi there. Welcome back to Charting Toward Intimacy. I'm Ellen.
I'm Kathleen.
And we are today talking about characteristics of a healthy and mature sexual relationship. This podcast episode idea like came out of nowhere. And like all of a sudden it was like, here's all the content that you need to say. So I'm fairly certain that the Holy Spirit told my husband and I to brainstorm all of these ideas.
Yeah.
And then I sent them to Kathleen and she was like, yeah, this is great. Let's do
Actually, you sent them to Kathleen and Kathleen was like, wow, I don't have a mature, healthy sexual relationship. So, so I mentioned that because this is yet another episode where we are not preaching at you. We are struggling along with you.
Yes.
I think that's going to be a really important thing to say. Reading through this list, I'm like, wow, we've got a lot of work to do. And I'm sure you guys do too, and that's okay.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's the point of this podcast episode is a wake up call for you.
Yeah.
If there is something in your sexual relationship with your spouse that isn't, you know, as great as it could be, right? I don't want to say like isn't up to snuff or something, because I think a lot of these, like, they fall on a spectrum, and we are always going to be journeying toward like a healthier, more mature sexual relationship. Like, we're never going to arrive at, there we go, check the box, I have a like healthy sexual relationship. Like, and it's something that ebbs and flows and comes in and out. Like, this was something that my husband Kurt and I, like, as we were talking about it, I was like, okay, well, that's something that like sometimes we're good at and sometimes we're not.
Yeah.
Like, and so I think this is going to be a really good episode too, to like kind of come back to in a year or something, or listen to it with your spouse and say, hey, like, what do you think? What of these do you think we really succeed at, and which ones do we need to work on?
Yeah, no, I think that's a really good point. And I also think that keeping in mind that some of these things, like, these aren't things that you can just say like, oh, that makes sense, let me do that. These can be things that don't come naturally, that feel really hard, and that might even require some professional help to achieve. So that's a very, I mean, and I'll say right now, like, I'm one of them with some of these things, like, we need professional intervention to achieve. So don't.
And that's okay.
Yeah, it's okay. It's good. And, you know, like, marriage is not made to be easy. Sex is complicated. It is not like, you know, I think we just have this idea that like, oh, once we can have sex, like, all of our problems are going to be solved, right? Like, before marriage. And it's just like, no, it actually complicates things a lot more sometimes, right? So none of this. Yeah. Just like, it's okay if that's where you are. Give yourself grace, give your spouse grace, be gentle with yourselves. And yeah, like, do like recognize that it's not going to be an overnight fix. Like, oh, Kathleen and Ellen said that, let's just do it. Right. That's not how it's necessarily going to work. So yeah.
Yes. These are some of these are, I think, fall into that category.
Yes, for sure. But some of them are.
Some of them not so much. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So the first characteristic of a healthy and mature sexual relationship, this is a required characteristic. I don't think we're going to shock anybody with this one.
No.
Married. You need to be married.
If you are not married.
And
you're having sex.
You do not have a healthy and mature sexual relationship.
Yes. Boom.
And you need to stop.
Yeah.
And, you know, and we're laughing about this, but I there are people listening right now. That maybe you're engaged, and you know, you're like, wow, we're so close. It doesn't really matter. It does matter.
It does matter.
The graces of the sacrament of matrimony are real. And those graces help you with this very complicated thing called sex.
Yeah.
And as we get into this even deeper, you'll understand like what we're talking about with this complication.
And we have talked in previous episodes about practicing chastity, right? Mm-hmm. Like and how before marriage, like it really is practicing, because chastity does not end once you are married, right? Like it actually becomes harder because now everything is licit, right? So it's like to remain chaste and have periods of abstinence are harder when you're married than they are when you're not. So giving yourself that gift of being able to truly practice, I think is something important too. Yeah.
Absolutely. All right. So the next characteristic, now that we've established necessary component, now we've established we've gotten there. Now we'll move on. We'll go a little faster through these other ones. All right. So you recognize that sex is a thing that you have. Okay. Sex is not just ignored mm-hmm. until you get to the bedroom. If that is the case for your relationship, it sounds like you need to start communicating about sex, because maybe there is some discomfort around sex. Maybe there's some purity culture, like issues seeping in there that make you like feel like, you know, the fact that we have sex is like still kind of bad and dirty or something, right? Sex is a thing that you and your spouse have. It is. Yeah. And that's something that, like, honestly, sometimes it might just need to be established, like sitting down and saying, "Hey, husband, sex is a thing that we have. Did you mm-hmm. know that?" Right? Like,
yeah.
I know that sounds kind of silly, but sometimes humor can help with these relationships. But it's like you need to just establish the fact that you and your husband or you and your spouse have sex. And allow it to be part of conversation as casually as the fact that you guys go on date nights or that you go to mass on Sunday, mm-hmm. right? Like, and okay, obviously like you want to be prudent in like when you talk about having sex, but just like understand that like this is a part of your marriage just as much as taking the kids to school is a part of your marriage, just as much as having quality time to yourselves mm-hmm. is a part of your marriage. Like it, you know, it's not just something to be ignored.
Yeah. Yeah. I like that.
Okay. And so I think just like in conjunction with that then is that you feel comfortable talking about sex and so does your spouse. Mm-hmm. and you listen to each other.
And that can be so...
Do you have any thoughts on this one?
I do. That can be so hard when you feel like you're coming at it from two different perspectives. Yeah, my hand is like way high in the air.
like, wow, I need to work on this one.
Exactly. Because I think that something that we often encounter is that, okay, we know we need to communicate. We know we need to listen to the other. But what if you can't understand the other's perspective, right? Like, how do you meld two different viewpoints and see it from your spouse's point of view when you see it completely differently, right? And I won't say like completely differently. Like, you are like, the foundations are all matching, right? But the personal experience and the learned experience, I would say, doesn't quite match up, or the expectations don't match up. It's something really, really hard. And I think it's something that involves a ton of prayer. And probably professional help as well, right?
Yeah, I was gonna add that in if you didn't.
Yes, yeah. A third person to come at and just say, okay, here's what I'm seeing from both of you. Let's find a place where we can meet in the middle, right? And maybe like the feeling comfortable is also going to be something that might need actual help. You know, right. if you are uncomfortable talking about it, you know that, and again, I put myself in this place, right? Like, I know the communication is important. I know we need to do it, but it's always that first step of like beginning, like initiating that communication that feels like I put it off because it can feel so uncomfortable sometimes. All things that need to be worked on, all things that are really, really hard. If it doesn't come naturally to you, but things that are so important to tackle.
I want to add to And this, like, this kind of applies to my situation. Like, the more you talk with your spouse about sex, the more comfortable you will become.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Especially if you're kind of coming from a situation that I did with just kind of this messaging that sex is bad and dirty. And then all of a sudden, like, you're married and now you need to flip the switch. Like,
and now it's good.
Right.
How did that happen?
Like, the more, right. How did that happen?
All I did was walk down an aisle. What changed?
Yeah. Like, I don't feel any different.
Yeah.
Oh man, that's a,
mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
That's a topic to talk about in a podcast episode. Sacraments don't necessarily make you feel different.
Yeah.
Maybe that's like a different podcast.
Dude.
Not one about NFP. Yeah. Just general theology podcast. Okay. So, yeah. So talking about sex, the more you talk about it, the more comfortable you would become. But then at the same time, I don't think you're ever going to arrive at a point where it's like, wow, sex is always going to be the easiest thing to talk about.
Yeah, like,
I don't really think, like, this side of heaven, I don't think we're going to get that.
Yeah.
And I think it's just important. And I'm not saying that to say like, oh, just give up. Like, I think it's just important to kind of keep that in mind of like, okay, we can, you know, we need to work on this, and it is going to get easier, but it's never going to be just like as easy as making your husband a cup of coffee or something, right? Like, it's not going to be just like a simple task.
Right. Because there's an intense vulnerability. And when you make yourself vulnerable, you put yourself in a place of danger, really. Right. Mm-hmm. Like, now granted, your marriage should not be dangerous, right? Like, you should, but like when
you're like
you
skipping
make yourself,
ahead in our list.
I am. Yeah. When you make yourself so vulnerable, you open yourself up to intense love, but mm-hmm. you also open yourself up to like intense betrayal, right? Like there's the possibility of anything sort of happening there. So it will never be the most comfortable thing, right? When you're that right. vulnerable, it's never really totally comfortable because there's an element of risk. So,
right. And I think vulnerability leads us nicely into our next point.
Yes, exactly.
You feel comfortable. You yeah. I was like, are you going to read it? Do you want to read it?
No, you do it. You do it.
You feel comfortable being naked in front of your spouse.
Mm-hmm.
This is a really hard one. I think a lot of people are like, oh, it's really hard for women. I think this is hard for both spouses, especially mm-hmm. after weight has been gained, whether it's due
babies
to
have been
babies
had.
And hormones, or it's due to stress at work or stress of being a parent or, you know, whatever. I mean, I pretty much guarantee like most of us weigh more than we did when we got married. Right.
Yeah. Or even if it's not exactly weight gain, but like just your body changes, right? Like, mm-hmm. I mean, having a baby, like I've nursed 5 babies. Okay. My breasts are not as cute and perky as they once were. Right. Like there's that I've got, right. I've got like the C-section.
Friend.
Right. Exactly. You've got the C-section pouch and like the loose skin now from growing 5 children. Right. Like I will say, praise be to God, and I'm very grateful for this, but I am somebody who weighed the same at her wedding 10 years ago as
wow.
she does now. That's
solid.
Just
do
like
you fit your
good
wedding
jeans.
Dress?
I do. That is just like, that is just good jeans in the grace of God.
I will never.
Right? Like I realize I'm very blessed and very spoiled. Like I'm not good about working out regularly. Like I don't know. People like ask me how I do it. And I'm just like, I drink a lot of coffee. I nurse a lot of babies and I stress out constantly. I don't know. That's all I've got. So, you know, but.
All right. This is not a dieting podcast. Please do not follow.
No.
Athlete's don't recommendations.
None of that is doctor approved at all. Okay. However, I do struggle with the fact that my body has changed in many ways. Mm-hmm. Like even though I may not have put on weight, right? Like I said, my breasts are completely different than they were. My stomach is different than it was, right? Like there are all, I'm not as toned as I was, you know, as a 20 something year old dancer who was just like, you know, rocking it all the time. Like, no, like there's a lot that's changed and it can still be uncomfortable When you're like processing a lot of change.
And I think there's two big things with this one is that, like, one, you need to start, like, you need to accept your body and the changes that your body has mm-hmm. gone through. And that's some personal work that might even need some professional work. But then at the same time, you need to listen and accept what your spouse says about your body, because I think this happens a lot of times for women is that, like, and I'll just be like vulnerable here with me. Like, my husband tells me I have a rockin' bod. I do not believe that. I do not believe that I have a rockin' bod.
It's so hard to believe.
You know, that's something I'm trying to work on. And mm-hmm. I'm trying to, like, see my body through his eyes, in this, like, you know, loving way. But yeah. I'm realizing we're already halfway through and we have like a lot more on this list. So we should start, like,
I know, we should stop elaborating so much.
Cause the second half of this list is like much more intense than the first half.
We just have so much to say.
So nothing demeaning. I don't even think we really need to talk that much about this. Like, your sex life cannot be demeaning.
Right. No S&M stuff going on.
Yeah. Like, I think that's enough.
Yeah. Agreed.
All right. You always have the ability to say no. That always needs to be present. You mm-hmm. should never feel coerced or required to have sex. But then on the flip side, it is also unhealthy to always say no. Like, if you, I mean, and you, this is something you need to answer for yourself. Like, am I like always saying no? And you need to look at, like, why is that, right? Ask yourself these questions. I'm not saying you need to just like tonight say yes, like, but you need to dig in. Why is it that I am constantly saying no to sex?
Yeah. And I think that this speaks very much to, this speaks very much to two of the, like the pillars of married life, right? Like free and total self-gift, right? So it needs mm-hmm. to be a free self-gift. If you are being coerced into it, it is not free. If you don't have the mm-hmm. option of saying no, that is not a free gift, right? But then also a total gift that you need to be willing to give your whole self. You like, it is, like if you're always saying no, then you're withholding a piece of yourself from your spouse, and that's not total. Yeah. So there's a beautiful balance between those two, you know, free, total, faithful, and fruitful.
And we're not saying that the yes. Yeah. We're not saying that the yes always needs to, like, you don't, in order for you to say yes fully, it's okay if you still like sort of don't want to have sex.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can still give a complete gift of self. And in some ways, you're giving an even more complete gift of self when you're like, you know, I just don't really feel like it, but I know that my spouse really wants this. And I know that this is a deep way that we communicate. And so I want to give this gift to my spouse, even though I just don't really feel like it.
Yeah. And I would even be hesitant to say, like, not even necessarily like, I don't really feel like it, but I know my spouse wants it. The place that I usually end up coming from is like, I don't necessarily feel like it right now, but I know my marriage needs it. Right. Mm. Like, it's a, don't look at just what your spouse needs. Look at what your marriage needs for the two of you to stay connected. I think that's
although we're going to talk about that in a little bit.
Yeah. But I think that's a better way of approaching it than just like, oh, he wants it, but I don't. Like,
yeah, you know I mean? Really like, what don't does our marriage like need? Yeah, I really don't like the narrative of like, he needs this and it's a gift that I, as the woman, have to give to him. Like, that's not sex. Right.
Yeah. Exactly.
Nobody needs sex. Exactly. Nobody is going to die without having sex.
True.
That's another podcast episode. Okay. That's true. Sex is not like a duty or chore. You want or you like sex, or at the very least, you're one step away from it that you want and like sex. Yeah. Like, and that's okay if you're a step away from that of like still like, okay, it's just not something I'm like excited about doing, but I want to be excited about doing it. I want to have sex with my spouse. Yeah. Like, that's an okay place to be too. As long as you continue to journey. I think a lot of times we kind of will arrive at a place and be like, this is just where I am. Mm-hmm. And that's just me. Right. Yeah. Oh, I hate that. Right. That's just how God made me. No, mm-mm. Sorry. God made you in the image of himself, and himself is perfect.
Yeah.
That was weird vocabulary.
Himself be perfect.
Himself is perfect.
This isn't an English lesson.
Gosh. Yeah. It's just Kathleen and Ellen's musing thoughts.
That's right. Exactly.
All right. This is my favorite one on this list, I think, because we're using a really, really important word here.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Or phrase. Not having sex doesn't turn your spouse into Pouty McPouty Pants or turn your spouse mean, rude, or unloving. Yeah. Or flip it, right? Not having sex doesn't turn you into Pouty McPout Pants. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't turn you into a rude, mean, demeaning, or unloving person.
Yeah.
Sex is a gift. I don't even think there's all that much to say about this one. Like,
not really.
If that is happening in your relationship, if not having sex for, let's say, 5 days, like that's not even the, like, that's like half the length of the normal, infertile or fertile window. If not having sex for like 5 days turns you or your spouse into like a Pouty McPouty Pants.
Yeah.
Then there is a deeper issue, and it doesn't actually have anything to do with sex.
Yeah.
It actually has a lot to do with your relationship and your communication style and your intimacy outside of sex. Yeah. And so there's something that needs to be worked on that actually has nothing to do with sex.
Yeah. Amen.
Okay.
Moving right along.
And so, moving right along. And this kind of goes with it too, is that the time between having sex is not like a ticking time bomb. There isn't pressure to have sex every other day, every 3 days, every 5 days. Like, it kind of goes right along with that, right? It's not like, oh, if we don't have sex within 3 days, my spouse is going to turn into Pouty McPouty Pants.
Right.
Like, that shouldn't exist. And if it does, like, again, what Kathleen was saying earlier, like, some of these require some external help.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And when it comes to sexual issues, you have to go to a Catholic counselor, because secular marriage therapists, when it comes to sex, recommend awful, awful things.
Yeah.
And they are not, it is not helpful for your journey toward God.
Yeah.
It might like help you here on earth. I'm putting quotes here. It might help you here on earth, meaning like it makes your life easier. But it is darkening your soul, and you're walking away from God.
I will say, though, as someone who's been looking into Catholic counselors, it can be hard.
They're hard to find.
Not only are they hard to find, but when you do find them, even if they do, a lot of them do telehealth now, but they don't take insurance. And so it can be a really expensive route. So I think that you might be in a position where you just need someone. I think if that is the case and you have to go to somebody secular, you need to lay out sort of the expectations in the very beginning. We are devout Catholics.
Yeah.
These are the things we will not open ourselves up to. Please don't recommend them. Like, meet us where we're at and do your best. Right. Like, that's something.
Yeah.
That
and if you're, and if your therapist, that's such a good point, Kathleen. Mm-hmm. I didn't even think about that, but yeah. And your therapist has to respect that.
Yeah.
Like, and if they don't, then you need to find a different therapist, because I think you absolutely can work with a secular sex therapist, so long as you like lay it out and say that we are not going to consider things outside of these bounds.
Right.
Another recommendation too, and I'm not just like trying to sell myself here, but like, if you go this route and then you're just like unsure if something that was recommended is okay, I do coaching. And so you could set up like a 1 hour coaching session with me to chat about some of the things that your therapist recommended and kind of, you know, knead out like, okay, what, what is morally licit, and those kinds of things. I'm not a sex therapist, but you know, I'd be happy to kind of help you journey along with a sex therapist, and just kind of making sure that you're staying along the straight and narrow, when it comes to sexual morality and ethics.
Ellen's great to talk to. I know.
Our Marco Polo chats are like,
awesome.
Okay. All right. We have a few minutes left and now
we got to speed roll through these. Yeah. Whew.
This is the big one. This is the one that I really care about. Okay. Sex should not be the glue that holds your relationship together. Mm-hmm. It should be a fruit of a healthy relationship. Think of your relationship as a tree. All right. If you're gluing branches together with sex, that's not a tree. Like, you have just created an art project.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But if sex is like this beautiful, I love nectarines. Mm. Like, and it's nectarine season right now. Oh my gosh. They're so good. I go to the farmer's market on Saturdays and I get like 3 or 4 nectarines and they're awesome. Mine. I love it. Don't really share them with the kids. They're like expensive nectarines. They're like more than $1 a piece.
Oh yeah, that is a lot.
So good.
That is a lot.
Think of whatever your favorite fruit is. Maybe it's nectarines with me. You know, you've got this beautiful flourishing tree and this huge, juicy, ripe nectarine. I just thought about how funny this is because the like peach emoji is usually like a butt and it's just very sexual. You know, and good connection. Anyway,
that's hysterical.
but that's what sex should be, is like this juicy fruit that you and your spouse are so excited to pluck off the tree and like bite into. And it's just like so delicious. And it just like gives you this big smile and just like, just fills you up even more, right? Mm-hmm. Like if you eat like one nectarine, it's not going to like fill you up if you're hungry. Right. You need to feed yourself with adequate, you know, protein and fat. And then you can have this like gorgeous nectarine, right? So if you are not having sex for a long period of time, your relationship should not just, and I'm putting this in quotes again, if you're in the community, you're seeing my quotes, Charting Toward Intimacy exclusive community. It's only $5 a month. You get the full video, full our quotes,
beautiful action. Faces.
Of Ellen's quotes. Your relationship should not just naturally, that's the one in quotes, like be on the rocks. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, we can't have sex right now for, let's say it's a long period of time. Let's say you have a 6-month moratorium on sex because of health issues. Maybe it's longer than that. Maybe you have like a year or two. You cannot just say, oh, our relationship sucks right now because we're not having sex. No.
Right.
Your relationship sucks right now because your relationship sucks. It's not because of sex. It's because you are lacking in emotional, spiritual, physical, and intellectual intimacy outside of sex. And you need to fix those things. You need to work on those things. And that's where a therapist can help. And so like, and sometimes in this kind of a situation, actually taking a break from sex helps you to see where those cracks are in your relationship. And so this is why, like, I honestly think the practice of natural family planning is extremely helpful for relationships, because if during that fertile window, your relationship starts going downhill, that is a wake up call to you. It's a wake up call from God saying, guys, you need to make sure your relationship is healthy. Sex is this extra beautiful, wonderful gift, this life giving gift. It is not the glue that holds your relationship together. Yeah. And so God's telling you, like, I need you to work on some things.
Yeah.
And this is what, and I'm waking you up to it each month because you're trying to avoid pregnancy right now. And so you're naturally having this, block of time. You know, it's funny. Christopher West, actually regularly like recommends that, like, even if you're not trying to avoid pregnancy, that you should have like a chunk of time that you not have sex. Like maybe it's a week, maybe it's 2 weeks, like regularly. And I heard that and I was like, yeah, I agree with it, but I could never like put the why behind it, but this is the why.
Yeah. Yeah.
I finally figured it out.
Yeah.
That break in sex is actually it is a magnifying glass that just opens up to you the cracks that you have and where you need to work on them.
Amen.
Okay. All right. Let's power through the last couple because we're already at a half hour.
I know.
Okay. So
yeah.
Do you want to read the next one?
Sure. So you actually have to have sex on a regular basis. Okay. And this is in order to have a healthy and mature sexual relationship. Right. And this kind of goes hand in hand with where we said, like, you shouldn't always be saying no, right? Like you have to have sex on a regular basis, and the regular basis is going to be different for every couple, right? Like maybe.
Right. That might mean once a week for you.
Yeah.
It might mean a couple of times a week.
Might mean every day.
It might mean just like once a month. It might mean every day, right? Like that's something right. You and your spouse need to figure out.
Yeah. 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 And where it doesn't feel like you're never going to have sex again, right? Like you, right. And I think a lot of couples usually develop, especially couples who are practicing NFP, we develop a pattern, right? So it's like, you know, we have like the rules if we're trying to avoid pregnancy, right? The rules as to when your available days are and whatnot. So I think for a lot of couples, I mean, I'll say for me, right? The pattern is to aim for sort of every other day in the,
sure. That's like,
I think that's
pretty common.
Yeah. Every other day in phase one until you know you're getting close to like the start of your ovulatory phase, right? To your phase two. And then as often as possible in phase three. And again, I think it could be good to really set up a regular time. Maybe in phase three, you're aiming for every other day again. Maybe you're going for like every day. That's fine. You know what? Maybe you're going for just like
every 3 days. Like
exactly.
But if you don't fall into the things that we've mentioned, like we're not saying you have to have lots of sex.
No.
In order to have a healthy sexual relationship, but you actually do have to have sex.
Yes.
Like, so if you honestly cannot remember the last time you had sex, that's kind of the indication of like, you're not having enough.
Right.
And I hate to say that, like, I don't want to say it like that because I think for some couples, like, again, like once a month is enough,
mm-hmm.
but like actually having sex is required for a healthy sexual relationship.
Needless to say, I think.
And this kind of flows from a lot of the stuff that we've been saying, which is why it's toward the end of the list. A healthy sex life still exists while you're practicing NFP. Like you make an effort, like what Kathleen was saying, like, you actually, maybe you even kind of put out a schedule or you put out a, like a recommendation, right? Like this is what we're going to aim for during that infertile time. You make an effort to come together in that form of sexual expression. And you don't just give up, right? So let's say you're the spouse who always initiates and you have a spouse that keeps saying no.
Mm-hmm.
And okay, you know, you're in the infertile time and you've initiated like maybe 3 or 4 times and you're like, whatever, I guess this is just not, we're just not going to have sex this cycle. I've only got like 3 or 4 more days until like, that's just not going to happen. No. If you're giving up like that, if you're giving up on sex like that, you don't have a healthy and mature sexual relationship.
Yeah.
Now there are things that your spouse can work on too. Okay. Mm-hmm. Things that we've already talked about in this list, but there's also things you can work on. Right. Yeah. And giving up like that, and just stopping asking and stopping initiating, that's not healthy or mature.
Right.
The healthy and mature thing is to go back to what point number 2, like recognize that sex is the thing you have. Don't ignore it.
Yeah.
And then point number 3, talk about it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I agree.
All right. The last one. You want to say it?
You go to mass and confession regularly. Right. We need sacraments to bolster our sacrament.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because the Eucharist is the source and summit of our mm-hmm. faith. The yeah. Eucharist gives us the, I mean, for like lack of a better term, like the Eucharist gives us the energy to live our lives as Christians.
Yeah.
And one of the, I mean, we've talked about this in podcast episodes before, like sex is the battleground of good and marriage. I mean, sex too, but marriage yeah. is the battleground of good and evil. So making sure that we are in the state of grace regularly and that we are like receiving Jesus into us, becoming more of him, less of us, then that will naturally help us mm-hmm. in this battle between good and evil that's happening inside of our marriage. No, you're not battling yeah. with your spouse. You're battling with the devil.
Mm-hmm. 100%. All the time.
And that's our list, y'all. If you, okay. And I'm going to do one more plug. If you listen to this and you're like, wow, there's something I need to work on. I don't even know where to start. Mm-hmm. I would love to see you in a coaching session. There's a link in the show notes. Like there reach out to me and we'll talk, because having a healthy and mature sexual relationship is really important. And like, again, like, Kathleen and I aren't coming from, we have arrived at all of these things.
We have not.
We have not. Like,
not even close.
These are things that we are also still working on. Some of the more fundamental things, I think Kathleen and I really have down. But like some of those bigger ones,
yeah,
like we are still working on. And so, you know, we're not just like trying to preach at you from right. like, we know better than you.
No, this is an eternal work in progress.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We're just trying to share the truth with you and maybe give you a little wake up call.
Amen.
Thanks so much for listening. If you are not already following us on Instagram, be sure to check us out at Charting Toward Intimacy. And if you listen to podcasts on a platform that gives you the option to rate or review, we'd love for you to do that, because it helps us spread the word about the podcast. If you ever have questions, comments, or episode topic ideas, please reach out to us. We love to hear from you. You can reach out on Instagram or send us an email. Our email is in the show notes. Until next time.